Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome back to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Michael Lev and Greg Hansen. One podcast would be more than enough, but we're back with another bonus podcast here. Michael, Greg, and I will make a case for a candidate. Not saying this is who they will hire. We're saying this is who, in our very educated opinions, we think they should hire. Fair?
Sure.
Deal?
Yep.
Michael Lev, intrepid beat reporter. What did our friend Petros refer to you as? What were you?
Champion of the world.
Champion of the world. Michael
he
Lev,
says that to everybody.
Arizona Daily Star, champion of the world. Softball pitcher extraordinaire. Who you got?
All right. I'm going to make a controversial choice, unpopular choice, but one that makes sense to me, and that's Mark Helfrich. Okay? I know that things went south at Oregon toward the end of his tenure. I think he gets way too much blame for that. I was looking at the recruiting rankings for the classes that were quote-unquote his classes. They were all in the top half of the league, generally around third or fourth behind the usual suspects, USC and UCLA. I know he doesn't have this big personality, but does Bill Belichick have a big personality? Does Tony Dungy have a big personality? Sometimes you can be the quiet, the understated type of guy. I go back to his West Coast ties, the things I've heard about him, which is extremely intelligent, which I like the sound of. He's in his early 40s, coached in the Pac-12, coached a quarterback by the name of Marcus Mariota, who had one of the best careers of any quarterback in the history of college football. So you're bringing that, you have all of that going on your resume. And apparently he has a prior relationship with Dave Hickey as well. I don't think he'd be super expensive. I think he could bring in a good staff. Maybe you could keep Marcel Yates on board if Helfrich doesn't have a defensive coordinator that he wants to bring in. And I think if you can keep Marcel on, that helps you with the recruiting game too, because I know Marcel has been pretty instrumental in some of the gains they've been able to make in Southern California. So even though it is unpopular among the masses, if you want to kind of zig while the other people are zagging, as you've mentioned before, Ryan, I'm going to go with Mark Helfrich.
I'm going to turn over this table as I explain that you're not zigging where everybody else is zagging by hiring a guy who runs the same offense as the guy you just fired. How do you sell it to Arizona fans if they just say, that guy's just running Rich Rod stuff, but he isn't a jerk?
Well, I would say look at the success that he had in the Pac-12. Okay. He coached in the national championship game a few years ago. He had one bad year. I mean, you know, the one knock against him that you can tangibly point out is that he had trouble getting a quarterback after Mariota left, right? Mm-hmm. It was kind of that string of junior college,
Vernon Adams, yeah.
Dakota Prukop, that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Until he found Justin Herbert. Now, they might have kind of fallen into Justin Herbert because he's from their backyard, but he looks like an NFL guy. And again, Mark Helfrich is the one who found him, yet some people seem to conveniently say that he doesn't deserve any credit for that, which I don't buy at all. So those are the things I would point out. I'd point to his record. I'd point to Marcus Mariota. I'd point to a Pac-12 resume as opposed to someone coming from West Virginia/Michigan. Mm-hmm. So those would be my differences in my supportive arguments for Helfrich.
Greg Hansen, would you like to go second or third?
I'll go second, because I want to beat you to the punch. Ken Niumtolo, Navy.
Oh my gosh. Just,
runs a triple option, which is
basically... What is Ryan going to do?
Which is basically the spread.
Right?
Tough guy.
Right.
A man of high character.
Yes.
A man of Polynesian descent. Mm-hmm. A man from the West. A tough guy. I think Arizona needs to be tough again. Mm-hmm. You look at the toughest programs in the league. Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Cal now will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody else is a passing team. I like the chances of Arizona if they got a tough guy. Khalil Tate would flourish in that offense.
Mm-hmm.
That would build your first 2 years and take it from there. And his recruiting would be really good.
Right. Ken Niumatalolo was mentioned for the Oregon job when it went to Willie Taggart here a year ago. And one of the points made by, and I forget who it was, of course, but one of the points made about him is there's not that huge a difference in terms of the players you look for in his option and in what was Mark Helfrich's option. The speed guys, you still want fast speed guys. Basically, it's a blocking scheme difference. And that is something that can be taught because linemen are smart. In that regard, I think he could be plug and play, right? You could bring him in here and pretty quickly, I think, adapt Arizona's current players to mm-hmm. his new scheme.
I don't think he'd run the option the way that he runs it at Navy
if he came here
because
you'd have players.
Khalil Tate can pass.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's not you're very restricted in terms of the types of players you can bring into the service academies, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in the Foster Farms Bowl and at various points during the season that Khalil Tate can throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I would like to think that Ken would be smart enough to make some schematic adjustments to his personnel. I think any good coach should do that. I'm not sure that the previous coach who was here was always willing to do that.
No. His identity was his offense. They ran his offense regardless of what their personnel was.
Greg Byrne had a term that applies to someone like Niumatalolo.
Mm-hmm.
Is he movable?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, his alma mater, BYU, wanted to hire him 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They flew him in to Salt Lake. I saw the video of him walking through the airport,
mm-hmm.
conquering hero, coming home. He turned the job down. Why?
Head coach of BYU, if you're a member of the LDS Church, is, I'm not trying to make a joke,
no.
It's Pope.
Yeah,
it is. You are the, I mean, you are, yeah, you're a saint if you're the coach of BYU. Why did he pass on that?
I think it was a combination of he could see BYU was going into a tailspin,
right.
Which they are now.
Right, with no league.
Their worst team, yes, that was 1A.
Mm-hmm.
Their worst team since the 1960s is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And number 2A, mm-hmm. being the Pope in Provo,
mm-hmm.
might not be the funnest thing to be.
Right.
I think it burned out Bronco Mendenhall.
Certainly did.
He probably talked to Bronco, and Bronco said, I had no life.
Right.
I couldn't even go to the grocery store and buy a Coke, because you can't buy a Coke in
right.
Provo if you're the Pope. So, maybe.
Right. Remind me when we get off the air, I'll tell you a good story about beer bottles in Provo, Utah. It's a good story. I will go third. You said an Oregon man. You said a Polynesian man. I got both. Joe Salavea.
Oh.
We're looking at a stack of virtual resumes here, right? We're chopping the top off. The letterhead comes off, right? We're just looking at the resume. Joe Salavea is a 2-time defensive coordinator / associate head coach within the Pac-12 conference. Check number one. Joe Salavea emphasizes defense in a league where everybody is hung up on offense. Number two. Number three, Joe Salavea can recruit. He can recruit the islands, which is an area of offensive line and defensive line are areas where a school like Arizona gets absolutely murdered if they don't have a plan. Right? USC is going to get whoever they want. Stanford's going to get whoever they want. Everybody else is fighting over the same 3- and 4-star guys, unless you have a plan. Joe Salavea has a plan. He goes back to Tafuna American Samoa every offseason. He has a foundation there in American Samoa that teaches little kids how to play football. If there's a guy in Samoa or Hawaii who knows how to play football, Joe Salavea is on him. He would have identified, I believe, the Alabama quarterback who led them to a championship last night. My guess is Joe Salavea knew him when he was 14 years old.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Thank you. Joe Salavea, I mean, my goodness. He recruited a dozen guys to Washington bleeping state and Pullman bleeping Washington. Hercules Mata'afa, who may be as good a defensive player as there was in the league this year,
went
to Pullman, Washington from, I believe it was American Samoa, because of Joe Salovea.
His parents had never even been to the mainland.
Right. Okay, so we just identified three things, right? He has a plan and is a recruiter. He on the defensive side of the ball, he has West Coast ties and the resume where he can take that next step up. Add to that the fact that he's a graduate of the university, a 10-year NFL player, and a former assistant coach. You won't have to put this guy up at the Viscount Suites for a month and a half like they did with Rich Rod, right? I mean, this guy knows where Campbell Avenue is. He knows what neighborhood to live in. He knows the way. He knows the way to the gym, so to speak. To me, he's the one guy who fits the returning hero stuff cleanly. Dave Phipp, I think, is a guy who makes a ton of sense. If you had all season to identify him and talk to him, but you got to make this hire in a two-week window. I think that of the other guys, Chuck Cecil's not ready, I don't think. I'm not sure Marcel Yates makes a ton of sense. To me, Joe Salovea, and you know what? I mean, what we talk about carving out a niche. There are two Polynesian head football coaches, I believe, in the history of the league. Okay? Or in the history of football. I'm sorry. History of football.
Division I football, yeah.
Kent at Navy.
Yeah.
BYU.
Kalani Sitake.
Kalani Sitake at BYU. If you want to be different, if you want to embrace your history as a program, which includes a proud tradition of Polynesian and Samoan athletes, bring in somebody like Joe Salovea. You want different? Joe Salovea is different. To me, this is like hiring Luke Walton to coach the U of A basketball team. I think it's an easy move. And I think that it would be both popular, smart, and strategic, which means, of course, there's no chance in hell it's going to happen, and we're going to end up with the guy at Toledo, whatever his name might be.
No, no. You just sold me. I was sitting here thinking, my job's going to be so enjoyable. And now you're talking about a guy from Toledo?
But if it was and it's the same argument we used with Sumlin. If Joe Salovea was the guy from last Tuesday night on, he'd be here by now, wouldn't he? There's no fancy pants buyout. Joe Salovea doesn't have to convince his wife to move to Tucson. They've lived here. To me, it's a phone call that should have been made. I hope it was made. To me, it would have been done by now if it was him. They've taken too long. I think this indicates that they're negotiating with somebody who has a buyout and maybe looking at houses, facilities, those kinds of things in Tucson.
Or maybe someone who just has a higher price tag, like a Kevin Sumlin, who none of us picked as our choice for this exercise, which I found kind of interesting.
Yes.
But.
And that's the thing. If somebody like a Jeff Stevens, who is a booster, if they're negotiating with Sumlin and they're trying to figure out if Sumlin's worth the price tag, maybe the person they're trying to convince is Jeff Stevens. Maybe they're not trying to convince Kevin Sumlin to come here. Maybe they're trying to convince Arizona's boosters to back Kevin Sumlin.
Maybe they will call Artie Marino and say, Artie, what do you think?
And he would say, Mike Socha. And then all of a sudden, we'd be done here. We'd be done here. Michael Lev, anything to add before we go?
You mentioned Artie Moreno. As I understand it, like he's been sort of out of the loop, right? Like right. He did not get along well with Greg Byrne.
He hasn't been here since the day Mike Stoops was fired.
Yeah.
And he didn't like Greg Byrne because Greg Byrne was a Sun Devil.
Yeah.
So getting somebody like an Artie Moreno deep-pocketed... Mm-hmm. You know, multi-millionaire back in the fold, I think would help if finances are indeed an issue. And I think they are an issue because you have to pay Rich Rod over $6 million, right? It's conceivable that you'd have to pay a buyout to some incoming coach. Not the case with Kevin Sumlin, interestingly enough, because he has no offset language in his BYU deal. In his Texas A&M deal. Which is interesting and beneficial to him. He might not demand as much because he wouldn't be losing anything off of that $10 million or whatever that he's owed. And plus, you know, these facilities aren't free, right? Refurbishing Arizona Stadium and building this indoor practice bubble, the student fee is not going to pay for all of that. So, as always, as we've talked about before, Ryan, money is a factor. In the equation.
And the price of poker goes up every time you fire somebody, right? To bring his guys on, it's an extra 30% over what you were paying the previous guys. Almost always.
I think the all-time winning scenario in this, if one of our three is picked, would be when they christen the new indoor facility next fall. Did they put on it the Artie Moreno family? Da da da, and that would mean he's back, and things might roll.
I'd ask Artie Moreno to help finance a stadium renovation, and Arizona could play in Estadio Moreno. And I believe, what does Moreno mean in Spanish? Is that beautiful?
Wow. Does Estadio Moreno, man.
Estadio, what does Moreno mean?
That just rolls off the tongue.
That would be. Estadio that Moreno. That would be. It's so romantic.
Moreno does not mean.
Oh, okay. It doesn't.
It means brown, I think. So. But still.
Still.
It sounds, I love that idea. Estadio Moreno.
Wow.
So Artie Moreno, if you're a podcast listener, and we're just assuming he is at this point. Hopefully we will see you here in Tucson soon. Greg, Michael, thank you so much. I know that was kind of a weird exercise, but certainly I think it was edifying, and I appreciate it.
Sure. Good deal. Yeah.
That'll do.
Hopefully the next time we talk to everybody, we'll know who the coach is, and we can start analyzing that
instead
of speculating.
Right. Not to keep mixing our religion metaphors here, but hopefully there will be white smoke here very soon. Yes?
Let's just hope that white smoke behind it isn't the word Bo or Troy.
That'll do it for the Wildcast. For Michael Levin, Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.